Welcome to this episode of the Hypertrophic Cardiomyopathy Practice Essentials podcast series. Today's chapter is entitled Setting Up a Hypertrophic Cardiomyopathy Clinic. My name is Professor Juan Pablo Caschi. I'm a professor of paediatric inherited cardiovascular medicine at University College London and Great Ormond Street Hospital. And I have the real pleasure to be joined by Professor Ruxandra Iorcu from the Institute of Cardiovascular Diseases in Bucharest in Romania. Ruxandra, it's a real pleasure. I'm really delighted to have you join me today, and I'm really looking forward to discussing this important topic with you also.
Thank you very much. I think this can be very inspirational for us as well to share our expertise, and I do hope it will be interesting for the audience.
Absolutely. So I think without further ado, let's just dive straight in then. So the topic is setting up a specialist hypertrophic cardiomyopathy clinic, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy unit. And I guess the first question really to answer is, why do we need a specialist hypertrophic cardiomyopathy clinic? What are your thoughts?
Well, I absolutely think we both agree that in nowadays world of personalized medicine and seeing more and more patients in our cardiology clinics who actually have cardiomyopathies, we do need specialized clinics to take care of them. Hypertrophic cardiomyopathy mainly, which is our subject today, is one of the most frequently seen with quite a high prevalence, 1 in 500 in the literature. So it is something really worth discussing today together, but other cardiomyopathies as well would be the subject of expertise in such clinics. There is a big need of putting together knowledge regarding how to diagnose, how to go further and more in depth under the umbrella of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy diagnosis, and how to manage these patients. And this is why I think there is a real need to have such a specialist clinic.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess this was one of the sort of central tenets of the 2023 European Society of Cardiology guidelines for cardiomyopathies, which we're both very fortunate and honored to be involved with. But within those guidelines, of course, one of the sort of key recommendations, a class one recommendation, in fact, was that every individual and relative with cardiomyopathy should have access to specialist care. And I think, as you say, Ruxandra, this sort of issue, particularly for hypertrophic cardiomyopathy that we're discussing today, of the importance of detailed phenotyping, reaching a specific diagnosis, which requires, of course, access to lots of different resources and different tests. But that's an essential reason why specialist clinics, specialist services are so important in this context. And I think you touched a little bit on this already, Ruxandra, but what would you see as the sort of objectives of the or the purpose of a specialist clinic? What are the sort of major aims of having a specialist hypertrophic cardiomyopathy clinic in your view?
Well, of course, the patients with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy would be diagnosed often in absolutely any cardiology ward or ambulatory outpatient clinic. The question and our discussion today is around, is it needed to have referral centers for such patients? And of course, this is both true for adults and children, and you will probably develop more on the pediatric side of cardiomyopathies. I do think the answer is yes for both. Because as I said before, I think first message would be that hypertrophic cardiomyopathy should be at first regarded as an umbrella diagnosis. With the advent of genetic testing, with multimodality imaging, and with putting together data from the pedigree, the laboratory tests, ECG, and other data we can obtain, we can refine our diagnosis much further with important management value and yes, added value. So doing this, we might And by knowing that it is not a sarcomeric hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, but merely it is Fabry disease or amyloidosis, or it is a certain type of disease for which we know that following up in the family would be really important. So these are things for which referral centers should be well equipped. Both in terms of human resources, of expertise, of doctors from various subspecialties related to cardiology, but not only, and also by their technological equipment.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think I completely agree. And I think you've made some really important points. I'm going to come back to some of those resources in a second. But just to sort of come back to one of the other points that you mentioned earlier on, of course, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is extremely common. So population prevalence, as you say, of around 1 in 500. And most of these individuals are going to be diagnosed outside of a specialist center. Possibly a lot of the management will take place outside of a specialist center. So how important is it to, within the sort of context of a specialist service, how important is it to maintain those interactions, and how can we foster those relationships with general non-specialist adult and pediatric cardiomyopathy services?
It will happen, of course, that these patients are, as we said, diagnosed outside of expert centers, as well as it happens, and we actually encourage it, that part of their follow-up happens closer to their homes, so that we see them once, maybe every year, after a well-established management pathway is performed. This is why we advocate a lot, not only establishing a sort of nucleus of expert center, but also dispersing our expertise and trying to involve other centers in the care of the patient. But coming back to the specialist centers we are here to talk about, I do think there are several scenarios for which our activity is really important for these patients. We were talking about diagnosis. Diagnosis means not only multimodality cardiovascular imaging, which is, of course, instrumental, and it has indication, a very high level indication in our new guidelines, both for echo and MRI, but also genetic testing, which is essential in establishing the exact nature and the detailed etiology of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. Afterwards, based on the characteristics of the patients, is it an obstructive form of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy or not? We have also to choose our therapeutic pathways. And this could be pharmacologic, or it could be that we have to propose septal reduction therapies, either alcohol septal ablation or surgical myomectomy. Or it could be also the implantation of a defibrillator, of a cardiac defibrillator, or sometimes a pacemaker. And each of these choices are determined, of course, by the phenotype of the patient, but also in some measure by the expertise of the center. As we all know, ever since even the older guidelines in 2014, we were told that centers with high volumes of procedures for myomectomy or alcohol septal ablation or both should perform these interventions, because they are not everyday interventions and they involve quite a lot of expertise.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that sort of issue around the management of left ventricular outflow tract obstruction in particular, and that's something that really is unique, of course, to hypertrophic cardiomyopathy compared to other cardiomyopathy subtypes. I think that's a really important role that the specialist centers have to play. As you say, it's not just about being able to offer the diagnosis and being able to offer the therapeutic interventions, but it's actually having the expertise and the volume to choose what's right for the individual patient. And I think this is going to become even more important now with the arrival of new drugs for left ventricular outflow tract obstruction. So already in many parts of Europe and parts of the world, mavacamten, cardiac myosin inhibitors, are now available as an additional therapeutic option. And of course, with that comes the need for very close monitoring, which also has significant resource implications. And I guess that sort of leads on to one of the other issues with specialist centers, which is what about the challenges? So it's all well and good to say, yes, we need to be able to provide special expertise that includes availability of multimodality imaging, genetic testing, not just for the individual, but also for the relatives, access to septal reduction therapies, access to the monitoring required with new drugs such as mavacamten, and potentially with the arrival of other novel therapies like gene therapies. But how feasible is it to be able to provide that? And what are the sort of challenges that we might face in that context?
I'm really glad you are asking this because not only it is and will be a general challenge, but of course there are many countries around the world and even in Europe in which the resources allocated to healthcare in general and to more advanced diagnostic tests or therapies can be quite limited and could pose problems into good enough management of these cases. When you put up and when you organize such a specialty center, you should first be aware that, as we said from the beginning, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is not such a rare disease. You will end up following up hundreds and even more patients of with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. You should also be aware that you have to allocate resources to family screening, which is a story by itself, because even with the genetic predictive screening, you might need to call in family members to be also clinically evaluated by imaging and ECG and so on. So such a specialty center usually develops in a hospital or in a bigger center which has access to all these technologies, all these resources, echocardiography, cardiac MRI usually, ECG and ECG Holter monitoring, or and other sorts of telemetry, genetic testing, as we were discussing. And the human resources should also be available because, of course, as we said, the number of patients is increasing sort of exponentially from year to year with family screening, and you need the doctors and the nurses and the genetic counselors to be involved in this. Moreover, as very nicely discussed also in the guidelines, the people who are managing these cases are from very various specialties or branches of medicine. We often need to address these patients to a psychologist for psychological support after diagnosis and during family screening. We always need advice for many and help from for many cases from our colleagues in electrophysiology department, interventional cardiology, and cardiovascular surgery. Of course, pediatric cardiologists are instrumental both in diagnosing, managing, and family screening in these families. Genetic, we discussed it. It comes up a lot because, of course, we are in the field of genetic diseases. And also, don't forget that with phenocopies, like diseases which come from the systemic diseases, amyloidosis, Fabry disease, or the neuromuscular diseases, or the Mellas syndrome, mitochondrial diseases, there are many scenarios in which we also need to collaborate with other specialties like neurologists, nephrologists, hematologists, and so on. So it is no surprised that in many of these specialist centers, like for example here in Bucharest, the one we developed, are on bigger medical platforms and take advantage, let's say, of the collaboration in a bigger multidisciplinary team.
Yeah, no, I think you make an excellent point about the multidisciplinary nature. And again, as you say, it's something that we were very keen to highlight in the guidelines. And I think the other really important aspect that you just mentioned was again, one of the key roles of specialist centres is also providing education, isn't it? So it's sort of making sure that we sort of educate the patients in their condition, providing appropriate resources for that, educating referral centers, but also educating the next generation of cardiomyopathy doctors. And again, this is something that I know both you and I feel very, very passionate about. And you mentioned pediatrics, and I'm very glad you mentioned that. Of course, that's an it's a an area that I'm particularly interested in as a pediatric cardiologist and a pediatric cardiomyopathy specialist. And I think being able to sort of combine that sort of pediatric and adult expertise within the same broad center is another really important facet of specialist hypertrophic cardiomyopathy clinics. We have to remember that we're never really dealing with an individual patient when we see somebody with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, but we're dealing with a family as a whole. And so that sort of lifelong care from childhood to all the way to old age is extremely important in this context.
Absolutely. And I love you mentioned patient education because I think that due to the fact that many of our patients are young patients, very interested to be involved in the decisions of for their healthcare, given also the fact that shared decision making is a concept with very important developments during recent years, this is a path where we need to specialize in a way. We are discussing a lot both during our guidelines development and also inside the European Reference Network for Genetic Cardiovascular Diseases about what is called PROMS, the patient-related outcome measures. I think we have to always take this into account as well because it is not only what we think is good for the patients, but it is also what they need for a good lifestyle. Being young, they are very interested into how they can perform sports, how they can continue to have an active life, how they can sustain pregnancy for women with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. And of course, they are very concerned about the transmission of genetic disease with several possible psychological issues. And I think with children, you see that even more complex because at stake is both the psychological response of the child and of their family as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's a probably a really excellent point to sort of wrap up this really interesting talk. And I think, you know, you've sort of shown us, Ruxandra, that there is clearly a need for specialist hypertrophic cardiomyopathy centers, that it's important that they deal with not just the diagnosis, but really truly reaching an etiological diagnosis, not just for the patient, but also for the families, but also taking into account some of the other non-medical aspects, so psychological care, exercise, pregnancy, etc. And then, of course, an important role in sort of specific treatments and education. So I think that was a fantastic session, Ruxandra. Thank you so much for your input. I would say to our listeners that there are more episodes coming. Ruxandra, thank you very, very much for joining us. And to our listeners, thank you very much for listening.
And thank you as well.